Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Born October 22nd in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and raised in East L.A., our next guest is a stand-up comedian who has starred on his own Comedy Central show and award-winning comedy specials. You can keep up with his podcast through his website, carlosmencia.com. His latest special, Here I Am, is available on numerous digital outlets. And tonight through Saturday night, you can see him live on stage at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Carlos Mencia.
Look at you, man. Good to see you, brother.
Oh, great to be here, bro. Great to be here.
It took about 10 seconds for us to jump into cunnilingus and getting smacked in the face with a giant penis stories.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Why so long?
Yeah. Well, because every man who's ever met Ron Jeremy, real man anyway.
Yeah.
Has wanted to take a picture with his whacker. It's just the way it is.
No, but I was always afraid he just whipped me in the face with it. And then that would be the picture of me getting like blindfolded with his meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I never had the nuts to do it.
There's four friends that the four of us, right? Whenever there's a fifth or sixth, we don't do this, but if there's four of my friends, specific ones, we know not to get uber drunk around each other, right? There will be a picture of nuts on your forehead. It's just the way it is. And they haven't got me yet.
Good for you.
We had to ban
I've gotten every single one of them.
Oh, we had to ban that on the RV to Sturgis. You know, we go out and broadcast live every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it became a thing that, you know, when you fall asleep, and you're, especially if you've been hammered, you fall asleep and you tend to snore with your mouth open.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it looks like you're in the throes of ecstasy.
Uh-huh.
So somebody would just kneel over you and they wouldn't put it in your mouth.
Sure.
But they just hang their D over your mouth.
Sure.
And then there's a snapshot of you.
Sure.
Like, in total, eyes closed. Oh my God, I don't feel much. I don't feel much.
Like you're that girl, it's not enough.
I was like, no more. Yeah. It's a complete and utter 100% ban on that on the bus.
But we are also talking about walking in on one. But walking in on, that wasn't the word. You reminded me. So I was performing in Jacksonville, Florida with Brad Williams, you know, the dwarf comedian. And he was my opener way back then. And then, A really hot soldier comes up to us, and she goes, "Man, Carlos, you're the funny. I have to do anything for you." As like, you know us.
Sure.
I go, "Oh yeah? Well, why don't you do my friend over here?" And she goes, "Okay, but you got to watch." And I was like, "No, I was kidding. That's not."
Yeah. I don't want to watch Brad Williams bang
but
you.
But dude, Brad looks at me and he goes, "Dude, do not." He gave me the look like broski.
I need this.
So. She goes, don't worry, we're not gonna have full on sex. So I'm like, all right. So I sit down on a couch opposite, like an L couch. So I'm on one end, and she's, it's creepy, dude, because she's doing it, at me.
Oh, and she's performing fellatio.
Looking at me, right? So like I'm the camera, and she's like smiling, and I'm just like, oh, this is weird. And he
because
keeps
you don't
he,
know whether to laugh no! or what, right?
And he keeps looking at me like, don't you ruin this for me, bro.
Yeah, don't you look at me then.
But he can't get into it, right? And
right.
now she's starting to get into it, and he's starting to get into it, and then he puts his little hands in the back of his head. And leans back and closes his eyes, and I go, nope, nope, I cannot stay here for that part. And I just left it, bro. I have no idea what happened after that.
Oh,
the other one, we were performing in Sunnyvale, all right, California. And the volleyball team from Stanford came to see my show.
Right.
Which, by the way, right before I go on stage,
super hot.
I'm about to tell Brad what a great show we had. And I open the door slightly and I realize I'm in the bathroom. And so I have to walk out in order to go on. And sure. I see Brad on a stool, but that's all I can see, just half of his body standing on a stool.
Come on.
Swear to God. And then I fully open it up. And one of the volleyball chicks, she was standing up, and it was perfect height. Perfect height, bro.
I'm so, that makes me so happy for him.
Oh, bro. I had to get out. So I was like, I just slowly opened the door and walked, and walked behind him like nothing happened.
That's so fantastic.
That's twice with the same dwarf.
College volleyball, the hottest girls in the world. And tall.
She's incorrigible. He was standing up on the stool, and she couldn't get on her knees, but she still had to kind of bend over. She was tall, bro. And I was just watching this like, why me? And the thing about like watching a dwarf have any sexual thing, it doesn't matter whether you like it or enjoyed it. You'll never forget it.
No.
You can't forget it.
Bridget the porno midget. Remember Bridget?
Yes, yes.
So years ago, this is a long time ago, we had her come in for a Halloween party we were having called Freakers Ball. We had rock bands. Mm-hmm. It's at Kansas City International Raceway. Mm-hmm. And she came in as part of the entertainment. She'd do intros for bands and stuff. And she gets so drunk in the morning. T, who used to work here, just had a kid, still had the child seat in the car.
Oh.
We had to pick her up and put her in a child seat and strap her in just to get her back to the hotel.
No.
She shows up. We have a limousine. And we also had midget wrestlers that we had brought in for that show.
Oh, right.
And they come and get me out of the catering area, and they go, you got to come see this. You got to see what's happening right now. So I'm like, I go walking up to the limo, and the window's down, and I stick my head in, and I'm like, oh, goddamn. And same kind of a thing, only the midget wrestler is standing up and she is standing up. They have their bodies are so matched, but she's bent over at the waist and he is standing on the floor and he is just jackhammering it. Just two midgets just getting it like nobody's. It was a beautiful Bobby Dean and little Kato. And that was the day we all took turns sticking our head through the window watching Bridget the Midget get jackhammered by a pair of midgets.
Oh,
it was a midget.
It's better to see a regular sized chick and a dwarf.
Yes.
Listen, ladies, if you love doggy style and you want it fast and hard and rhythmic,
yep.
Remember this. We are on our knees.
Yeah.
In that position. Okay. They're standing up.
Yeah.
I know this because I walked in on him and he was standing up, leaning back and using the body.
Yeah, sure.
He looked like that. You remember that little toy that used to go like this and it would flick like it would go like that, you pull it and it'd do like little. Yeah. That's what he looked like. He looked like just a little jack and he was going, man. And I for literally a few seconds, it wasn't even a thrill. It was just like the physics of it. I was like, wow, if I had little legs like that, I could hammer it like that because he can pull it. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm watching a dwarf.
Yeah, apple butt too, man. That crazy apple butt where you're like, it's a super thick rear end. And you're like,
oh, no, that's not the weird part. The weird part for me was holding the little feet. That was the creepy part that was just the weird part for me. Like, hold when on, I actually on. Had sex.
So you had sex with a midget.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, holding your little feet.
Oh, dude, I've never told anybody this. So, first position, put her over a stool. So yeah. we could do like bent over and her little legs were hanging, but it was perfect height for me.
Yeah, right, right, right.
But that was bad. It was great because, you know, her legs were kind of spread into a into like an A and, okay. and they were just jingling. And that right. was kind of cool. then kind of on the bed. So it was perfect. But then, yeah, then when.
Missionary?
Then when we did missionary and she put up her legs and I like I reached out normal size and hands were catching air, dude, because I was thinking
phantom legs.
Like holding tiny then, hands. Did your fingers go between her toes?
Her toes curled, uh-huh. when her toes, yeah. I straightened them out. So that's so my fingers were over her toes, so we were fighting and she would curl it and I would uncurl it. And she put when she would push, it was like it was strong, bro. Well,
and people don't know midgets, and this is the thing, because and I've had a lot of friends over the years who are little people.
Uh-huh.
They're heavy as it's my belief they weigh every bit as much as a full size person. They're just condensed into a much like a fruitcake, like a human fruitcake. Mm-hmm. Like if you ever try to pick a small person up, they weigh an inordinate amount of weight. It's not like you go, if it was a kid, the kid would weigh 50 pounds.
Yes.
This is 150 pounds.
Yes.
And it's and until you've done it, we had a friend. Patrick, we used to do this game up in Sturgis, that motorcycle rally. We were hanging out with the guys in the band Jackal, and so they would bet somebody at the bar that they could not squat the midget, touch their ass to their heels, and stand back up again. And 100% of the time, they won drinks every single time. Some yeah. biker would come over, you'd get him over,
right.
he'd go all the way down and realize there's no chance of him standing back up again. Totally true.
They're
man.
Very, very heavy. But yeah. only people of a certain age would know that who actually got to do the tossing.
Right. That's right, midget throwing.
I never did yes. the tossing, but I did do the commentary. Yeah, yes. like, you know, bars. That was way same back here. When, yeah. you know, they... Carlos wasn't Carlos, and they were like, hey, bro, you're really funny. You want to host this? And I'm like, what am I hosting? And they would put the Velcro suit on and run, and people thought I could throw them far. Dude, it literally was like 2 feet. Not, most of them couldn't get up high on the wall.
So
very heavy.
Let
very
me go
heavy.
Backwards. Was it an audience member midget that you met? Or was it a famous midget? Was it a porn midget? Was it Bridget? Was it?
Well, there's more than one. One of them I can't say. One of them, of them I can't say.
Because we would know them?
Probably. Wow. The other one was a friend of mine. Oh.
Did you go through a midget phase?
He took me to the LP convention.
Okay.
So that place is.
Right.
Just horny town.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because you get all these little people. That have never been around that many little people, right?
So they're all worked up because it's, you know, other than being small, they have normal needs and views and everything, you know, they want to get it on too.
Not just that, but this is one of the first times, right? There's so many of them, they get to choose.
Right, right.
Because think about it.
Yeah, sure.
You're a dwarf in a small city in America and there's that's another right. dwarf. That's just you two.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? You totally. Guys are going to, even totally. If you don't have sex, it's you two.
Right.
Those are the people, right?
Like no, the Olympic that's village. It.
No, all of a sudden, you get sense, those man. Two and take them into a city and go, look at all these other little people.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, bro, even amongst little people, right? The average is 4'6". The dude that's 4'10", oh, my God, bro. He is getting so much.
He's the Chuck Norris of little people.
Oh, my God, bro. Everybody's like, all the little girls are like, he's so tall. And, bro, and I got the stamp of approval because I'm with a celebrity dwarf, bro.
Right, right.
It was debauchery.
That's amazing.
Debauchery, bro.
Amazing.
Debauchery. And I did manage to do the... Put her, like, sit on my arms, lay on the bed.
Yeah.
It was tough. Picked her up for a few seconds. Motorboated. Blah, 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 and then put her back down. But I held her over the bed just in case I couldn't hold her. And I'm telling you, at first I was like, I can do it. And then I started shaking.
Isn't it crazy? People know you from, like, Mind and Mencia. They know you from doing stand-up tours. They know you from television. They know you from comedy.
Yeah.
But what they don't realize is all the weird stuff in life that these jobs bring you, the moments in life, all the places you'll go that you would not have gone otherwise.
Yeah, every single comedy club that I performed in before the age of 29, don't take a black light to the stage.
Of course. Of course, man.
Because yeah, Carlos no. Mencia is all over every single one of those stages.
Yeah. Well, and those comedy kind of, and there were always comedy girls. Always. I mean, we used to have them here in Kansas City mm-hmm. when there was that. I mean, I knew them because I'd see him pop in with comedians once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, again, I'm all for it, man. Listen, what's better than making somebody laugh?
Right.
You know, we all go, oh, athletes get it. Guitar players get it. Musicians get it. But I think that if you're a comedian that makes somebody laugh, I think girls are like, I think the panties slide right off.
Listen, the ugliest comedian has the beautiful wife.
Yes.
So yes. To some women, being funny is a deal. Yeah. So, yeah, but before that, dude, it was, the LP, Little People Convention of America.
How many little people
they have regional have you... ones. They have regional ones, and then they have the big one.
Have you been inside of, do you think?
Over a dozen?
I'm really behind. I'm really behind on this.
Three with cerebral palsy.
Oh, you are. Yes. Look at you. You're doing good Lord's work.
But cerebral palsy is there. So here's what it is. My cousin Benji, who's my age, got shot when we were 8 years old. Okay. And whenever he had like issues, we ended up at this place called Rancho Los Amigos Hospital and in Downey, California. And it was like a recovery hospital.
Okay.
So you would go to whatever your wing was, and then in the middle, that's where everybody ate. So I was there all the time with them because he had scoliosis, he had bed sores, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, sure.
So the kids with palsy specifically, they were always like really big fans, and they were fun. And when I started doing stand-up—
For anybody listening, they're all, not to interrupt, but just so everybody remembers— Having cerebral palsy means you have a spastic muscle issue. Your brain, your mind, your 100%. Cognitive thought, everything's 100%. Everything is fine. It's just a physical movement issue.
Right. It has nothing to do with 1 + 1 = 2 or how do you spell the word. It's I'm going to punch you in the face. Hey, you just kicked me. That's
exactly.
Their issue.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But you don't understand, bro. When I started doing stand-up, they had an intervention for me because they were upset that I was funny when I was hanging out with them. But I never told those stories on stage.
Right.
So I get confronted.
Well, how come we're not part of it now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like this, like real talk. And I can do a good impression because I've been hanging out. It was, hey, Carlos, we read the other day that they call you the equal opportunity offender because you make fun of everybody, but you never do jokes about us. Like, are we friends? How come?
And right?
I was like, well, bro, here's the thing about impressions. When you do impressions, people clap, except for one, the impression of you.
Yeah. No,
I go, that's the one impression.
Of course, because it comes off mean.
Exactly. And I go, and ironically, the better my impression,
the worse it is.
The worse. So the more respect I show you and go, I am going to do the best impression of you. Wait, right. Slow the spit down. I'm going to get the spit too. Like, dude.
That's true. No, of course it's real, man.
So that leads to me saying to him, I understand what you're saying, but I don't want to, I don't want to put myself in that position. I'm a comedian. But more importantly, I want you to know that if I'm ever on a show and you're there and you ask me to do an impression of you and I do it and people get offended and you laugh, they're going to get mad at you too.
Yeah.
They're going to get mad at you because your laughter is allowing me to tell that joke and they're going to be pissed at you.
Well, people stop laughing at each other. We've stopped laughing at ourselves. That's the problem is, you know, most of us, I think normal people know we're all screwed up. We're all funny. We're all different. And that's kind of what makes us wonderful. And when a friend busts your balls, it's because we're friends. And everybody, and I don't care who it is, knows the difference between hatred and busting balls, between friendship and aren't we different and isn't that funny? And isn't there an elephant in the room? And shouldn't we just go ahead and talk about it?
That's exactly it.
But we love to be. There's a new section of human beings that love to be offended.
Oh, really? Oh, this one?
Oh,
dude,
he's
listen,
super woke.
Listen. Here's how it went. I'm hanging with my friends. They all got palsy, and I go, I can't do an impression of you because people are gonna think I'm insensitive, and the better my impression, the worse, and you might get in trouble. Yeah. And then Marcus goes, or maybe you don't do jokes about us because you're an effing pussy. To my face.
Yeah, but because he knew. He knew. That was like, you know.
And so I go, okay. Next time there's a show and you guys are there,
yeah.
I'll do an impression of you guys. It felt safe. I swear to God, a couple months later, I get a phone call from McDonald's. There's a Ronald McDonald School for the Disabled in East Los Angeles, California. I swear to God. They asked me to do a show for the kids.
I'm already saying no.
I say yes.
No.
I show up, and I assume that whoever sat the room would know, and I'm putting it in quotes, sit the normal people in the front place. Just all the kids with disabilities can, like, you know what I'm saying.
It's tough. Yeah, it's a tough room.
Because there are certain kids that just won't get your jokes no matter what. And I don't want to see those kids. No, so I'd rather know they're in the back.
Well, again, if you, it's I do know exactly what you're saying. It's a very hard thing to talk about.
If
somebody's not going to even comprehend what's happening.
Exactly.
There's not that. You're like, that's a pretty stiff and hard audience.
Right.
Yes.
But no, that's not what happened. They sit them on the front. And so my entire right section is cerebral palsy. And I'm not kidding you, bro. They're shaking so much. I'm literally getting dizzy. So I look to the left of the room, and there's a guy with a respirator. And he's just staring at me, and all I see is the...
You're talking about the artificial lung?
Yeah,
going
the
up
little
down.
Artificial lung. So I'm just... And in my head, I'm like, who put Lord Vader in the front row? This is not cool.
That's so terrible.
But I'm looking at the audience, and I go, my friends are there, right, sprinkled in.
Yeah.
But there's like 2,000 people in this theater, and my friends are like 10.
Right.
I'm not doing the joke.
Yeah,
there's no way I'm doing an impression. Yeah. Bro, 22 minutes into my show, the kids with cerebral palsy start to chant, you're an F&P. The whole section, you're an F&P. Like, just crazy. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So I... And then Marcus goes, I told you what you are. And then it just hurt my soul.
Yep.
I was like, no. You know what? I am on stage right now. I am a god. This is my kingdom and I rule. I'm about to do a joke about you. But I looked at the audience and I said, guys, I know I'm going to offend some of you, but I swear to God, this section of cerebral palsy really want me to do an impression of them. And they all went, yeah. And the audience in the back was confused. Like, wait, we want them to feel empowered, but
sure.
Do they really know what's about to happen?
Right.
And as I was talking to them, bro, I was allowing spit to gather in the back of my mouth and swivel a little so that the spit can become white and more viscous. And in my head, follow me on this. Right. Here's what I said. I'm about to get canceled. Now, the word canceled didn't exist, but I was like, I'm about to get in serious trouble.
Right.
If I'm going to get in trouble for doing an impression, it's going to be the best impression I could possibly do. I'm not going to go down for going half.
Well, why miss
you
heaven
know what
by
I'm saying?
No, don't miss heaven by an inch. If you're not going to heaven anyway, go all the way to hell.
Exactly. Yeah. So, dude, I go, I'm doing an impression of you, and I start shaking, and they start clapping. And when the white spit comes down the side of my mouth, bro, pandemonium. Pandemonium, dude. I'm talking about the people in the back are like laughing and and I am just loving it. I'm like, yeah, in my head, I'm like, I'm the best ever. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, this one kid goes, Tommy, Carlos looks just like you. Tommy stands up and goes, shut them up. And everybody gets quiet. And I'm on stage going, God, this is my worst. What have I done? What have I done to you that this is what you did to me today? How is this going to end? I'm screwed. My career is over. It hasn't even started.
Yeah.
And Tommy goes, I don't look Mexican. And I literally farted on stage, bro. Yeah. The relief I felt when he said that.
Yeah.
And everybody started laughing. And I remember thinking, man, I will be able to tell this story for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes.
And but those stories came from us just being, you know, people.
Real. Well, that's it, man. Everybody says they want diversity, but nobody wants to talk about our differences. And what makes us different is what makes us funny. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just the way life is. And again, it takes all the power away from someone going, you're bad because you're different. Once we're all laughing at our own goofy, ridiculous nature,
right?
We're fine. We were talking about, you have a great explanation of why rednecks and illegal immigrants.
They're the best.
Yeah.
They never complain. Yeah. This is real. Like,
but
I've never
exactly
offended.
They're the same.
Well, okay. Here's a conversation. All right. Inspired by my joke. A redneck meets an illegal immigrant. Let's call this bit the redneck meets illegal immigrant. Hey, I saw this guy named Carlos Mencia the other day, and he told me that you and me are the exact same person, but I'm highly skeptical of his crap because he's a beaner, for Christ's sakes. But let's put it to the test. I'm going to tell you about me, and you're going to respond in kind, and we're going to figure this out. First of all, I speak English with an accent. Me too. I drive a pickup truck. Me too. Look at my belt buckle. Look at my belt buckle. Well, look at my pointed boots. Look at my pointed boots.
Yes. That's what makes it so good.
One time I had sex with my cousin. Me too. He was a quinceañera. We didn't know. Everybody knew. They thought it was funny. Whatever. Don't ever make fun of my son. He walks funny, but he's still my son. They're the exact same person. But here's the thing. It's kind of like everybody, like, you know, people from Kansas City thinking they're different from people from Missouri, and LA is different from this.
Right.
Like,
right.
Here's how you know all Americans are exactly the same. When you cut to moments where we react without thinking, right? Where you're just there, where you just, your thoughts. This is how you know. All right. Okay. Here's a perfect one. Go back to March of 2020 when they told Americans to stay home and quarantine. I don't care about your geographic location in this country, race, color, creed, religion, socioeconomic, political status, or your age. This is how you know all Americans are exactly the same. Back in March of 2020, when they said you got to stay home because of COVID, we had said for about how long? They said for about a month. At that moment in time, every single American had the exact same stupid thought. We all went, we got to stay home. Oh my God, I'm going to crap a lot. We need toilet paper.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Every single American, literally, they said stay home, and an entire country went, my butthole. I have to take care of my butthole. Think about that.
Yeah.
There wasn't one place, and I swear to God, my wife, so I live in Southern California, and I'm just saying the names of all the places that exist where I go. My wife comes back, and she goes, babe, I couldn't find any toilet paper. I went to Vons, Ralph's, Gelson's, John's. I go, babe, I'm going to go to Vallarta because that's the Mexican place where I get all my Mexican stuff.
Right.
I go, there's no way that there's a shortage of toilet paper
right. Where
we come from. Bro, I get there. There's a huge line. I go, what is this? And in Spanish, they're like, pues mi culo. I'm like, oh my God. You too, bro? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know where I found toilet paper? Real talk, the Jewish store.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. They were like, it's fine.
Yes. I walked in there and I'm like, hey, do you? He's like, we're fine. We have it. Don't worry. We have it. Listen, tell everyone. I go, I'm not going to tell anybody. Tell everyone we have toilet paper. I'm like, oh my God.
So good.
But see, I live in Encino, California, which has one of the highest Jewish to Middle Eastern ratios.
Yeah, which is an interesting neighborhood.
And they get along perfectly where I live. So my idea is take everybody in Israel and the Gaza Strip and just send them to Encino.
Yeah.
And within a few months, they'll all be exactly the same.
Yeah.
They'll all love each other, and it'll be fine, and they won't fight anymore. And on a
much less comedy-driven note, the reason I've always loved New York City is because I always, what occurred to me, whether it's right or wrong, is because they don't have gated communities, because they had rent control, because you had to let people live in buildings with other people.
Yes.
Everybody had to learn that they were different to get along. So you've got every socioeconomic, every religion, every color, every creed, everybody is within a 3-block area. Everybody you're going to meet.
Yep.
And I was like, well, this seems to be pretty okay. Everybody seems to be
all
That's right.
That's why I could never get into Friends.
Yeah.
Right? I'm being serious.
No, you're right, because it wasn't
real. I was
real.
Never able to get past... For me, it was like this. You're telling me that 6 people in New York don't have any friends of color.
Exactly.
Either A, this is crap and not real, or B, can we at least see their racism?
No, it's true, man.
Aisha Tyler became a girlfriend. How many years into it?
Yeah.
But at first, I was like, dude, I've been to New York. You can't walk a block without hearing an accent.
Right.
Hell, half of the accents I know, I got them from just walking the streets of there.
Dude,
how do I know? I just did a Jewish guy. I grew up in L.A., in East L.A.
Yeah.
There's no, There's no Jewish people left in East LA. Right. Yeah, right. It's not like I could go next door, Ira, so let's talk. Listen, this is how you do it. No. That's not how it worked out. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Walking down the falafel guy, you know what I mean? I learned the Middle Eastern accent way back. Hey, my friend, you want falafel? You want falafel? I learned it over there, bro. Just walking the street.
Indian, I learned it when I moved to Hollywood. The entire third floor at La Palmas and Yucca was all Indian.
Oh, yeah?
And then,
I learned that at Any Choice Hotel. They own every Choice Hotel.
The first Jewish man I ever met, in all honesty, was Eric Ezra Tischauer, who is still a great friend. Yeah. He ran a record store I worked at. But I was like, he literally had to explain, he goes, some people don't like us because we're Jew. I go, they don't like you because of where you go to church? And literally, I was 16 years old.
Right.
Now, of course, I'd known about Germany and Nazis.
Right.
But this was America, right?
Right, right.
And in my head, I was like, come on. And
right.
You literally kind of had to lay it all out for me.
Yeah.
I had no idea. It was not part of my world.
Yeah.
Nothing my parents had ever taught me.
I am so grateful that my parents weren't like xenophobic or racist like that. Because I had a teacher who's Jewish named Ronnie, and she would teach us all the Hanukkah songs.
Yeah.
So during Christmas season, I would come home and I'd be singing Hanukkah songs. But my parents were like, what is that? Like, what are you singing? I go, oh, these are Jewish songs. They're like, oh, I could imagine if I was like a regular American who had some anti-Semitism and I'm at home going, oh, Hanukkah, let's dance the menorah. You know, what the are you?
To that same point, we had the weirdest racism in my family. My mom was from England. She hated Irish people.
Yeah.
I mean, hard. Right. We couldn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Seriously. That bad?
It's for real. And then my dad, I had a kid up the street I used to smoke weed with, and his dad was a Mason. So they had some kind of kid Mason thing. I don't know what it was, but it was whatever it was. But he was like, you want to go with me? I go, I don't know. I'll go anywhere.
Right.
I go home and tell my dad, and my dad, who grew up Catholic, I had no idea,
right,
lost his goddamn mind.
Right.
But for years, I didn't know why. I finally had to learn as an adult that there was some rub between the Masons and the Masonic Lodge and Catholics somewhere the Knights of Templar level.
I don't even know what that stuff.
Yeah, me. I had to grow
and
up.
And I'm Catholic.
My dad, I was like, all I knew was he was yelling at me. This day was over. Like it was. Yeah, right. I was like, I don't want any part of whatever. Whatever the problem is, I'm with you. I just want to stop it. But my mom was hard racist against Irish. Like. It was the craziest goddamn thing you ever met. And I grew up and went to Ireland. And I'm like, Mom, you know, you're really wrong. Like,
right.
You were starving.
They're not the
people.
Way you said.
Yeah. You starved them out and they just fought back. That's
right.
All that happened.
Right, right, right.
She's like, oh, you don't know. They blew up the horses. They're terrible people. I want them in my house. She was real, man.
See, I grew up part of my life in Honduras. And in Honduras, there's a huge respect for the indigenous. Like the money is actually named after the Indian. So the Indian's name is Lempira, and that's what we call Lempira. the money, Lempira.
Yeah.
And he's on there. Like, that's the Indian on there. So I grew up a boat ride, about a two-hour boat ride on a canoe to a place called Bataya, which where all the black people lived. So on the coast of Honduras, everybody's black because a slave ship turned over and all the slaves came out, and so they made it there. And so my dad would take me there to go like hang out with black girls because he wanted me to know that like the world is filled with people. So he goes, in America, you can be with a white girl or an Asian girl, but right here, let's go. These are black girls. They're beautiful. And you know what I mean? And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
I didn't realize my dad was cheating on my mom the whole goddamn time, bro. I had no idea. I thought he would like go hang out with her. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, he's getting one in really quick. I had no clue, dude. And to my mom's credit, bro, the other day we were talking and she's like, I know what you were doing, but you know, a man is a man and your father, he's respectful. He never did in front of anybody. And even you didn't know, like giving him credit for keeping it a secret.
It's a different world down there. Central and South America, the way they look at things is, it's very different. Because, you know, I told you I had friends down in Roatan and I spent a lot of time in Tagus and San Pedro.
Yeah.
And I mean, now, not anymore. Now it's
you
just,
can't.
It's
you can't. Even
it's
I can't go, bro.
I got stuck overnight in Tegucigalpa. They shut the airport down.
Yeah. The most dangerous airport in the world.
Dude, yes. Yeah, remember,
seriously, it is.
It really, I told these guys that you're flying over a mountain and then it's all breaks so you don't go over a city street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole other story. But yeah, that was the night I ended up walking the street from the airport, having to go, didn't have any money, had just enough in a bag. My passport was still in Roatan. I had to meet the plane the next day. I managed to get on a plane. Then they sent me to El Salvador. Thankfully, they weren't deplaning. It just went down, dropped some people off, and then went back up to Belize City,
right,
where I met my friends who handed me my passport before we got to Houston.
Yeah, but you're insanity. White. You're going to be fine, bro. See? Yeah.
Well, no, I figured that was my plan, right?
Like,
just being white
in a place like Honduras, that's all you need.
Well, when I was by myself walking along and then trying to find a place to stay for the night. Hey. That was at least it got my attention.
I got you. But you'll be fine because once you get to that place, they want to accommodate you, right? Yeah. It's when you look like me and you're in Honduras. And they start treating me like Honduran, and then I pull up my passport.
Right.
And then they treat me like an American. No, so I've seen both, right? Yeah. Well, they look at you and be like, oh, you know what? It's the opposite in America. It's like if you and I were to go to a, you know, to like a McDonald's, and they look at you and go,
I know exactly what you mean.
And they see me and they go, no mames, ¿qué quieres? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I'll say, like, I'm going to get something, and I look in my bag and there's an extra fry or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, I just spent 6 months in Curacao. I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, you know what that means? So, yeah.
No, you were always... They're like, and then look right back to you. Like, I'll just wait back here. I'll just tell you, I know you're going to get to me after you've served 37 other people.
Yes.
I just did all that.
Yes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born October 22nd in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and raised in East L.A., our next guest is a stand-up comedian who has starred on his own Comedy Central show and award-winning comedy specials. You can keep up with his podcast through his website, carlosmencia.com. His latest special, Here I Am, is available on numerous digital outlets. And tonight through Saturday night, you can see him live on stage at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Carlos Mencia.
Carlos just picked up our Easter cake team list.
His friend spotted it from across the room.
Those are all team names of people who will be competing a week from tomorrow in Easter keg 2024. Uh-huh. Somewhere there's an Easter keg hidden out in the city, and it's got a $500 gift certificate to a liquor store. It's got 30 tickets to the NASCAR race. It's got wrestling tickets, 10 of those. It's got a custom cooler. It's just a huge prize package.
This is the one where the guy called in earlier and he said, is this me and my friend? And you're like, you should have more people so you can figure stuff out. Was that it?
Yes.
So it's like a treasure hunt or something?
Yeah. You got to find the Easter cake. It's painted like a big Easter egg. Butt stuff, team Last Supper with Fonzie, Savor the Burn. Sis on you, Pister. You ain't so muck and fudge. Why don't you go back off in your own jackyard? There'll be 300, 400, 500 teams by next Friday.
No way.
It'll be absurd.
That many?
Oh, it's absurd.
That's awesome.
Ridiculous, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just good childish stupidity.
That's the first one of is butt stuff. I'm like, okay.
Well, I
thought it was a to-do list.
So, I don't know if we told you this. So, you remember years ago, you and I both remember, we were having a contest who could throw more lunch meat at a naked lady.
Oh, yeah.
She was a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Super nice.
She came to the show after?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Years go by. I mean, she was all naked, and mm-hmm. we were throwing lunch meat to see who could make it stick. Mm-hmm.
Bologna and ham.
Yeah. And Greg's friend married her. Is that right, Greg?
Yep.
Yeah.
They have a child together.
So,
no way.
And by the way, she actually remembers it quite fondly.
Yeah,
but I thought so too.
It was fun. We weren't mean.
No, nobody was mean. But even I walked out that day and I was like, oh, man.
You felt dirty?
Yeah. I was like, oh, man.
So
it was when she got the pirate patch meet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it flopped down and landed on her breast. And they just stuck there.
Yeah.
So my buddy, he's a real person. Practices medicine in West Palm Beach, Florida. His name is Dr. Ramon Vasquez. He is in the lifestyle.
Got it.
Almost 2 years ago, Miami, he goes, hey, listen, you interested in a 30 dude on 10 chick orgy on my yacht? I was like, why would you even ask that question?
It seems like a lot, though.
He goes, yeah. He goes, but you know what? He's like, you got to pay to get in, though. I was like, all right, whatever. So I get there, and I go, so how much is it? And she goes, that's not how you pay to get in. She pulls out a bowl of pills and goes, you got to take one of these to get in. And I was like, well, what is that? She goes, that's ecstasy. I goes, look, dude, I'm not doing ecstasy. I'll do Molly, which is pure MDMA, but that stuff might have fentanyl, might have other stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want that.
That's why I stopped
and
doing
it. And plus, why? Why do you need me to do E? And she's like, well, to make sure you're not a police officer. And I swear to God, I looked at her and went, so you think I've been undercover doing comedy for 35 years? So that right? After all this time, I could get on this yacht and go, ha-ha, you're banging like this.
Yeah.
This is what I'm undercover for? Like, seriously? Here's the problem. At that point in my life, I had never done E. I had just heard about it. I'd done pure MDMA, never E.
Yeah.
For you people that don't know, MDMA hits you pretty quickly. Within minutes, you feel tingle. You start getting euphoric, dopamine drip, serotonin. You're good. Ecstasy takes 1 hour to kick in.
Yeah, it takes
you
a minute.
You don't feel
it's a little dirty.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Nobody told me.
Oh, you rookie did.
So I popped the pill, and I'm waiting, and nothing. And about an hour later, I go, must have got a bad one. Pop the second pill. Immediately, bro.
The first one goes,
yeah, my body's like, I'm going to do everybody on this boat. And literally 30 seconds later, my penis went, but not right now. And it's just, dude, you just imagine I'm rolling and I'm freaking out because I can't get it up. And I'm in a corner just,
you know what
I
mean? Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'm a Latino. I roll my R's. I know what to do with this.
Right.
And it was great, right? Right up until they were like, I just can't anymore. Just get on top of me. And I'd have to go to the next girl because I couldn't, dude. So I'm just Pez dispensering right from chick to chick, bro.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Finally, about four-ish hours later, Doc comes up to me and he goes, dude, I've been watching you. You're still cool. Everything's cool. We're going to be here. Yeah. And he gives me a little yellow pill. I guess it was a Cialis.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you'd think he'd have had those already. Like, where you been the last 4 hours?
But he said, you were way too past. Like, if I would have given you a Cialis then, you still would be gone.
Right.
Like, my head was just in another place.
Yeah.
So he kind of let me come down a little bit to the one pill instead of the two. And he gives it to me, and then I'm like, oh, this is cool. This Puerto Rican chick looks at me, and I know she's Puerto Rican because she pointed with her mouth, so she didn't point to her breast. She went like she was going to kiss it, like pointing to it.
Right.
Dude, I'm rolling balls. My pupils are dilated.
Yeah.
I have no peripheral vision, and the light sensitivity is just astonishing. I'm hunched over for some reason. And I'm walking toward her, and I remember looking at my hand going, my hand should be open fingers like a booby shot, but I was walking toward her like one of those little Legos with the hands with the Legos. And I was so rolling that for a second as I'm walking toward her, I'm like, everything is awesome. I'm not kidding you, bro. As I'm walking toward her at an angle, opposite me on the right is a dude with a huge penis. And it's a peanut butter cup commercial, bro.
Right.
No joke.
You're like, oh,
so he's walking there. I can't see him. I couldn't see him. I swear to God, dude, all of a sudden, I got him in my hand. He's in my hand. And I yelled out, I got C-blocked. I got C-blocked because I thought it was funny. Nobody reacts. Now I'm sitting there rolling balls with the dude in my hand going,
let go.
What do I do?
Let go.
But I was like, if I let go, that's weird. That's what I thought. I go, I swear to God, I shook his penis, bro. I swear to God. Like it was his hand. I went up and down like this and I went, how's it going, bro?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. And he goes, he was really cool. He shook his hip and went, hello, my name is Antonio. How are you doing?
Jesus
now,
Christ.
Here's the weird part, bro. Here's the weird part. I kind of let go of him, kind of stand up a little taller.
Yeah.
And I look at him and I go, bro, I'm a 55-year-old man. I don't care about labels. But you didn't freak out and I didn't freak out. And I had you in my hand. Are we gay? And he looks at me and he goes, what are you talking about? We're Latinos. We're fine. And then he walks away. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell does that mean? We're Latinos. We're fine. Like, I get a pass? Like, what is this? But I'm so in the moment that I can't figure it out.
Right.
Cut to Monday. I go to my Google, my father. And I walk up to my dad and I go, Dad, I got a story to tell you.
You told your dad this.
Oh, yeah.
He's
an
old school traditional guy.
Oh, yeah. I get to the part where I'm holding, I got him in my hand and I paused. And my dad goes, what's wrong? Why are you stopping? I go, I'm waiting for you to yell at something homophobic like you have my entire life.
Sure.
You know, some joke about me being gay.
I immediately thought.
He's been doing it the whole time. I'm waiting. So I go, I'm just waiting for you to yell out and say maricón or something like that, like you've done my whole life. And my dad goes, no, mijo, you know, sometimes in life things happen. And I'm like, wait a minute. What have you done in your life, Dad?
Yeah.
That me holding a penis is like not a big deal.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever. So to continue your story. So I go. So then I get to this guy and I go, and I said, are we gay? And he said, we're Latinos, we're fine. And my dad looks at me and he goes, well, that's right. What does that mean? That's right. What are you talking? You know what I'm talking about. I have no idea. I am lost, Dad. He goes, mira, were you born in this country? I was not, Dad. Well, then you should know gay for Latinos is different than gay for America. I go, what are you talking about? Gay is gay. Oh, is that what you think? Okay. Are you going to be here this Saturday for the baptism? Yes, I am. Are you going to go to the party? Yes, I am. Come to the party. Come to me. I'm going to show you the difference between gay for us and gay in America. Get to the party. I go, Dad, this is seriously burning a goddamn hole in my brain. I need to know what the hell is going on. Watch your uncle. When he gets drunk, come over here and you're going to see what I'm talking about. I'm watching my Uncle Carlos get drunk. He's 86 years old at the time. He has 3 shots of tequila and 3 beers. Hammer time. I walk up to my dad. I go, he's hammered. What now? Go up to your uncle and ask him if he's gay. He's going to get mad. He's going to yell at something stupid. When he comes down, look at him and say exactly this. Don't be funny. Don't be cute. Just be normal. And say, but what about that one time in Tijuana when you had a couple of beers with the Mexican guy at Adelita's, the famous whorehouse? And you're going to see. So I walk up to my uncle. And of course, I want my uncle and my father to fight because my dad's 84 and my uncle's 86.
Yeah, you want to.
So I go up to my uncle and I go, tío, my dad said that you're a maricón, see, sucker, all this stuff. And he's like, I am a man. I am a man. Yo soy hombre, cabrón. Hecho de la leña del maguey. Do you understand me? A real man. And I go, but what about that one time in Tijuana when you had a couple of beers with that Mexican guy at Adelita's, the famous whorehouse? And he goes, oh, no. I bang him. He no bang me. I was like, so you're gay? No. I did him. He's gay. I just did him.
Dude, I had a friend tell me the same thing about prison once. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah, swear to God.
But I didn't realize this in Honduras. Yeah. If I do a guy, I'm not gay.
It's who gets the semen on him, right?
Right.
Whoever ends up with that. Falls out of an airplane, you're gay.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was a relief because I thought I might be gay, but now I know I'm not.
I
know.
I swear to God, I knew a guy who was in the joint for years who said the same thing. He goes, no. I F that guy. Guy's gay.
You know what's funny? I was watching, I don't know why, I was watching Roadhouse, the original.
The best. There should never be a remake. It's
I agree.
Ugh.
And and here's why. For you young people, they're like, why can't you drink? Remaking movies is fine. But this movie was not serious.
Right.
It didn't take itself seriously, but it did in a weird way. Yes. And that's what made it cool.
Yes.
That it was like, wait, you're telling me that there's a world where everybody outside of Kansas City knows Dalton the Bouncer? Are you serious?
Exactly.
Like he's a household name?
Yeah, you're Dalton?
Really? Yeah, yeah, totally. Oh, you know who that is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
And then his karate is half dance, half nutcracker.
Yeah. It's almost capoeira. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, like that. It
but
just,
more ballet.
It just...
It was terrible, but great.
It was.
Oh, I love that movie. Sam Elliott.
That I forgot what my point was because I got lost in the movie, but...
How's it going, mijo?
There it is.
Mind your own business, Dad.
You want to fight, us?
I sure ain't going to show you my...
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the fight.
Yeah. First,
isn't it? Oh, this is the fight, but there's the other fight... Where he's fighting the big bad guy.
Yes.
Right before he kills him, and the guy holds him and he goes, I used to bang guys like you in prison.
Yes.
But he said it with like you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm not the gay
I'm
one.
A real man. And I was going, that didn't come off
That's
right.
That's exactly right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because he said it like, yeah, I used to bang dudes like you in prison. And in my head, I'm like, that's not manly. So that's the way it is in the Latino community. I didn't know. And then I was hanging out with my gay friend the other day. And then he told me the Mexican gay joke that I have you heard it? What's the difference between a Mexican and a homosexual? Two beers.
Never heard that. No.
Swear to God. I've never been offended at a joke, but that one made me twinge. I ain't lying, bro.
That's not true.
Like part of me wanted to go, no. And then I remember my uncle and I went, maybe yes. Dude,
great.
We've had. Dude, it's been a great journey. I had told you about, the story I got to tell you. I forgot. So
hold on, but let me remind everybody. The reason you're here. Guys, he's doing one show tonight, two shows tomorrow, two shows on Saturday at Comedy Club of Kansas City. Comedy Club of KC, 103rd State Line. One tonight, two tomorrow night, and two on Saturday night. I just want to make sure people know why Carlos Mencia is in studio.
You know what's fun? This is why I love being here, because on any other radio station, I'd be like, you don't have to tell them. If I'm on your station, they know I'm going to be performing somewhere. They'll just look.
Yeah, sure.
You and I and the show are just such friends that people might believe, like, no, he's just hanging out. Like,
yeah,
you know what
no,
I mean?
Listen,
like,
I've known you forever.
It's believable that I'm just here to hang out because I'm going through or I'm in Topeka tomorrow, but tonight.
Dude, what a fun friendship. It really has been. What a fun friendship to watch and be a part of and just know you and just watch this arc. And I mean, I knew you before you even got into the films.
Yes.
You know, I mean, everything. Like, I mean, I'll catch you in something and I go.
No cocaine. No, don't got cocaine. I know about no cocaine.
I can't pick it up. I can't pick it up. Just think about it.
I don't even know about cocaine. You want some cocaine? I thought you said you didn't have any. Oh, I'm going to get some. I just had
it. Dude, and his brother, man, someone bring me another spoon. Not plastic this time.
Listen, Carlos. Listen, Carlos. You got to get off stage, man.
Oh, so good. So good, man. Oh,
he had the ratchetest hookers waiting for us after the shows.
Always, man.
Like, dude, like, seriously, bro. Oh,
he'd do that. He'd be like, hey, you want to go bang this chick with me? And
yeah.
I go, no, Craig. I do not wish to bang that chick with you. You have a diseased wiener. Like, there's no doubt you smell of infection. Like, he was.
But the girls, like, that. Some of them, I guess, were hot. So, no, that's not true. Some of them were hot.
Black Barbie was very hot. Remember her?
Beautiful.
Yeah,
yes.
But then Chocolate Becky was.
One of them tried to bang me, and I didn't want to. I don't know which one. You would probably know which one.
Chocolate Becky was a little more street, and I really liked her.
Okay.
But she used to, Craig used to forward the, have you ever played you the voicemails? She, you know, he used to give her money and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes, you have played me those.
Oh, my God,
I've heard
man.
Those before.
Oh, like.
Did you want to turn your goddamn phone out, pussy, and act funny over a motherfucking phone that you found that you probably don't even have no more? It's not even in your goddamn custody. That's why you keep
custody.
Playing games about it. But you know what, bitch? You and Jeff, Jack, whoever, can keep the phone and shove it up your tight ass, you cheap bitch. Don't ever call me again, pussy, and kiss your warm statement goodbye, you cheap bitch.
Oh, She was ruthless.
Nice.
Dude, the day she, what was the
and
one?
And they had
she,
the best sex that night.
Well, that was the thing that I was like, we had this conversation on the air one day. Do you think he's a racist?
No, not really. Probably so, though. I don't know. He says weird things sometimes when we have sex. Did you call him?
Yeah. That was how he would finish. He had to call her the N-word. I was like, that's a little strong.
That is a little strong.
Much,
I've had black friends have the opposite.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've had black friends that are like, I was with this white chick yesterday, bro, and it was amazing, but I'm a little weirded out.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? Because she called me her big black buck N-word. And I go, in the middle of dirty talk? Like, did it come out of nowhere? He's like, no, it built up. I said, so what's the problem? He's like, it kind of turned me on, and I'm really weirded out about that. I don't know how it would feel. It's never happened to me, but I would imagine it would be weird if I'm in the middle of it, and she's like, come on, Beaner. You know what I mean? Cook me like you're working at Arby's. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, do me like I'm a strawberry and pick it, bitch. Like, I don't know.
I can tell you where it wouldn't be good.
This is exactly why I always leave and go home and never spend a night with you. So now never in your life ask me again, you stupid little dick bitch. Burn in hell. I hate you. You are selfish ass bastard.
Yeah.
I
say the term little dick bitch when that happens.
Wow.
That's when it hurts. That hurts far more than being called big something.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, we kidding me? We didn't let that die.
Little dick bitch with all your little dick bitch with all
your like, oh.
Yeah, it's safe to say that Glazier's love life isn't good. And the women that he's dating are straight up hood. Yeah, take a chocolate, Becky, she fans his flames. And she christened Craig with our favorite new pet name. He's a little dick bitch.
That's great, it went on and on, man.
That's great. He tried to pay me in cocaine so many times.
Dude, and I really...
He would have ratchet hookers. One time he had one where her breasts were lopsided because she had put it not under the muscle, but over the muscle.
Right.
So one of the implants had gravity slipped. And literally, it was googly-eyed, bro. And he...
Marty Feldman boobs.
Right. And he's got her like a trophy at the end of the show. Like, hey, Carlos, what do you think about that? And I'm just like, bro, seriously, why? Like, are you trying to test to see what kind of a guy I am? If I'm nice or not? Like, if I'm going to say anything about this?
But, yeah. No, that would always be like, you want to do some blow? And he just told me everyone he'd ever done blow with.
Right.
He'd be like, oh, Joe Montana was up here the other day. Right. Let me tell you about that. And I was like... No, I don't want to do drugs. He's like, don't you? I go, yes, I do drugs. I just don't
but
do
not
them
with you.
Yeah,
because you're going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll keep your secret. You just told me everybody you
Everybody's
did it with.
Everybody's mad.
Yeah. And every time he described a chick, it was never, ever the way they actually looked.
Right.
I remember, there's a Polynesian. Oh, Carlos is great Polynesian. She looked more like a Samoan dude. You understand? Like, come on, bro. You say Polynesian, you imagine like a, you know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
The hula chick.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Not like 34, 45, break fight. You know what I mean?
Way more Sally Moore than Sally.
Yes.
But he would love the fact that we're still telling stories about him. You know, because what's the old saying? You never die as long as people say your name.
Right.
And he would love that we're busting his balls.
Of course.
He would love it more than anything that we're still talking about him.
Oh.
And there'll never be another one.
He's right now in heaven going, dude, I told you I'm famous. You
know, heaven's
They're
a stretch.
Still talking about me.
Heaven's a stretch for that one.
I don't believe there's a hell. I believe this is hell.
I don't believe
it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, in 1996, I'll tell you a story that I hadn't told anybody. Never told this story. Especially on the air, never. So 1996, Ron Jeremy introduced me to what we used to call a transsexual.
That was your first tranny.
He did not tell me.
That's what you would call him back in the day. You were transsexual, short, tranny was short.
Yes, tranny.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me that she was post-op, but he didn't tell me that she used to be...
She had a vagina.
A vagina.
Okay.
A rebuild.
Yeah.
And so we were hanging out. Everything's cool. Have some drinks. Everything's great. You know, she's British, so she's got an accent, so she's even hotter, dude. Started kissing. I felt no mustache.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, It's not like I felt a stubble and ignored it.
Yeah,
there
of course.
Was
yeah, nothing there, right.
Nothing
yeah.
there. Breast, perfect, amazing. And for some reason, we didn't do fellatio or conlingus. For some reason, we just kiss, and then started.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was there, but I was like, there's something don't feel right.
Really?
Something don't feel right, man. You know what I mean?
See, I would have been, honestly, if it didn't look any different, there's no way I could.
Well, I didn't really look
yeah.
like that. It
yeah.
was, you know, it was kind of dark. It was, yeah. you know what I mean? There's no reason. It's not like I didn't have yeah. a reason to check it. You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're doing it, but then I'm like, how do I tell her? All right, for you people that are like, okay, is he being funny? Yes, but when you physiologically turn a penis into a vagina, two things are very different. The first thing is they don't have mucous membrane. So they don't there's no fluid. So it's
oh, yeah,
dry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Completely dry. Which, by the way, before I was 21, hey, I was under 21. After 21, there has not been a woman that I've ever been with. Ever.
Right. That's not right.
Ever. That where we didn't make this sound. That's a must. All right, that is a must. All right, it's got to sound sloppy or else yeah, yeah. I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
But I'm getting the, right? I'm not, there's no, and I'm going like, what's
like you're banging it in a pool.
Yeah. yeah. Another thing is they don't have that muscle that women have around
okay.
the Kegel.
Yeah, yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like the opening, the vaginal opening. Yeah.
Yeah,
like we're squeezing.
Yeah, the squeezy thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I'm trying to figure out how to tell her. And in my head, I go, well, what would happen if I just go, hey, what's up with your vagina? Or what's wrong with your vagina? And then in my head,
that's
I go,
that's a bad move, right?
Here's how, yeah, because in my head, this is how it went. Hey, what's wrong with your vagina? You're what's wrong with my vagina. I suffer from endometriosis because I recovered from ovarian cancer, and it's painful to have sex, but I thought I could share it with you because you seem to be nice, but you're an asshole like everybody else.
That's exactly what you think
right?
happened, yes.
So I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? So I went doctor, and I started kind of choking her out a little bit, and she coughed, and there was no squeeze. So in my head, I'm like, this is a medical condition. I could bring it up. So I go, hey, you just coughed, and
it didn't grip me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I tried with the fingers, and I go, cough again, like a doctor. Cough again. Right? Cough again. She goes, and I'm like, I got nothing. I got nothing.
How do you go from having sex to being a detective all of a sudden? Like, that's way
because
more than
I've
Because
I wanted to know, like, first of all.
It's all too much inside
real.
My head at that time.
It's my insecurities.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was the fact that I wasn't getting the reaction that I normally get. You
right,
know what
right.
I mean? So I wasn't even thinking, is it about her at first? I was like, is it me? Like, am I not doing it right
anymore?
Yeah. Did I do too many drugs and I'm like not here? Like, what is it? You know what I mean? So when I said like, hey, you coughed and your muscle didn't go like that, dude, she turns white, and I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, something's going on, and she starts crying, and she goes, I can't believe this is happening to me. I cannot believe this is happening to me. And I looked around and went, I think this is happening to me, and you're not telling me what it is. I feel like everybody here knows what's happening except for me. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And she goes, I swear to God, I asked him eight times, I swear to God. And he said, he told you. And I'm like, you know what? Rip out the Band-Aid. Just say it. And she goes, I'm just, oh my God, this is a trans worst nightmare. I used to be a man. And I go, are you effing kidding me? And she goes, are you angry? And I go, yes, I'm angry. We could have been doing anal this whole time, seriously? So we went there. I choked her out. She coughed. It went squeeze. And I went, there it is. There it is, people. True story. True story. And people,
oh, goddamn.
Dude, it was, I never met her again. She never said anything again.
That's hilarious.
I have no idea.
So
like
good.
Afterwards, I didn't feel dirty.
No, man.
I didn't feel weird. And you know what's funny, man?
You got laid and a good story.
Let me tell you why I love my father. My cousin came to see me perform not too long ago. And I told this story. And my cousin tried to belittle me in front of my dad going, man, your son must be gay. You know, he had sex with a transsexual. And my dad goes, well, we grew up poor. We're used to rebuilds. I was like, thank you, father. Thank you. Thank
you. Your dad had you
my
back.
Dad had my back, bro. And he looked at him and he goes, yeah, your father's the same. And my cousin went, what do you mean? Your father asked him about the Toyota he used to have with the door from the Nissan. Ask him. And he totally had my back, bro. Oh, and great, I was, man. But this is why I love him. He totally had my back, right? Have a couple of beers later. Everybody leaves. And then my dad goes, now that we're alone, what are you doing banging used to be men? Why? You can't tell? How could you not tell? The Adam's apple? The something, mijo, something.
I didn't have sex, but I was when I was in Thailand the first time, probably 1997
in
with
Bangkok.
A girl. I was in Bangkok in the red light district in Lady Boys.
Oh, I had to grab the penises there, make sure.
I was with a girl and we went to a strip club and we'd already been to the sex club and then we were out and the people told us these are Lady Boys. I go, what's a Lady Boy? And they're like, no, these are actually men. I go, they're not men. You can see them. They have perfect breasts,
yes.
Beautiful face,
yes.
High cheekbones,
yes.
Beautiful hair.
Yes.
Like, and they were wearing bottoms, and I go.
And they got hips.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, the hips, bro.
So I pull money. I it was 52 to one, the bot. Like, it was it was super cheap, and I had, I don't know, got 20 bucks or something.
Uh-huh.
And I go, let me see it.
Right.
Kicks it to the side. There it is, man, like a little wax bean, like bing bong. I was
right.
Like, oh, you got a dick. And I was like, so now I'm like, this is fantastically crazy.
Right.
So, there's a bunch of drunk Australians right next to me, you know, because this Bangkok's just filled with Germans and Australians, all these guys. And I see he's doing an outdate. Like, I can tell what's getting ready to happen, right?
Uh-huh.
So I feel compelled, code of man.
Sure.
Because he's hammered.
Sure.
And I'm like, all right. Like, hey, man. It goes away to talk to, like, whoever's going to release the girl. And I go, hey, you know, these are lady boys. These aren't really women. And he goes, what's your point? No?
Until you are telling me this, why?
No, man, I swear to God. He's like, right, what's your point, mate? And I was like, nothing, man. I just thought I was supposed to. It's just, we're cool. I'm with my girl. She doesn't have one.
So I'm the opposite, bro. Yeah. So me, and I'm telling you the names of the people, so you know these are real stories.
Yeah.
My used to be my opening act, Cisco Duran. We're performing in Nashville. A buddy of mine goes, I'm going to make you some moonshine. He goes, seriously, this stuff is almost 100, like 200 proof, which is
it make you blind. Yeah, it'll take enamel off your teeth.
But I'm telling you, it's going to taste like apple pie. Don't let that fool you. Seriously. So after the show, we go to a bar. I give him the jar, the bartender the jar. He's a buddy of mine. He goes, oh, I'll keep it for you. Don't worry. Just come get shots. We're three shots in, and I go to the bartender, and he goes, bro, I got to tell you, your friend over there, he's talking to you. Like, that's a guy. So you guys know. That's a guy. And I looked at him, and I said, thank you for telling me. Don't repeat what you just said to anybody else.
No.
So they start getting hammered. We're all, and now I'm measuring myself because I want to be aware. I want to be there for the moment.
Right.
So I see him walk out to the car. Right. I'm like, it's going to happen.
This is so good.
He sits down on the driver's seat. She sits down on the other side. I'm waiting. They start making out. I see his head and hers disappears.
Oh.
I wait. Because I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt the moment.
Right, so you let it
But
finish.
I got to be there right when it's over. And it gets done. And I'm like walking toward the car. And I look at him and I go, bro, I love you. But that's a dude. And he goes, what? And he looks at her and he goes, you know what? After we do this again, we're going to have a conversation about this.
Hey, Carlos Mencia's in the studio. He's doing shows at Comedy Club of Kansas City, 103rd and State Line, one tonight, two tomorrow, two on Saturday. You got a minute to hang?
Mm-hmm.
I got to knock some commercials out real quick.
All right, let's do it.
All right, hang on, you guys. Stay right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Carlos Mencia is in with us this morning. Dude, I don't think our conversations off air would fare well on, but I wish they did. I can see where your podcast is a fantastic place to be. You know, the FCC would definitely not agree with it, but your podcast, man, that's what I want to, I got to delve into it more, man.
I got to get into it more myself, but I put them on sometimes, sometimes I don't. But anyway, yeah, dude, it's what you're talking about. It's life, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. And I think the majority of people feel very much the same way we do. And what we're talking about is this, the new world. Obviously,
right.
As a comedian, you're an open-minded guy. You laugh at everything because
everything.
You don't hate anything. We laugh at it because our differences are funny between us all.
Plus, poor people, we had to laugh.
That's right. Yeah.
Seriously.
If you didn't learn to laugh, you cried. You had to find your valve.
Either be funny about life or
that's it.
Get religious.
No, that's right.
Those are the two things you do when you're poor.
And if you go hard religious, eventually sometimes the pressure gets to be too much and you go weird.
Yes.
And that's not a shot at religion. I'm just saying you got to find a way to let it out sometimes.
Well, that's what it is. What happens is you're poor and you're like, man, why am I poor? So you go, please, God, help. Please, God, help. That's why if you listen, all you got to do is drive around Kansas. And some of the biggest churches you'll ever see are outside of these little tiny towns in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? Poor people that just, you know what I'm saying? It's like black people in this country specifically. Like, after all they've been through, you go to black churches and if you didn't know the history of America and you went to a black church and saw the lurching and the screaming and the chanting music and the catching the Holy Ghost, you would go, man, this is the richest community. They're so happy.
Yes.
They've probably had everything their entire generations. And then you walk out and you read about slavery. And all, you're like, what?
That makes sense.
These people, how are they that happy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if my mother's mother, like my great-grandmother was a slave, I'd probably still be complaining about it. You know what I mean? I'd be like,
of course.
Have you seen what they did to us? Like, and yet, you know, they're so happy, and it's what you were talking about, man.
You have to, you're either going to be bitter and mean, and your life is going to suck.
Yeah.
Or you find a way to laugh at the things in life you can laugh at.
And you got
to
laugh at.
And you, because the world's not fair, and it's not going to be fair. And that's the entitled thing. Like, everybody now thinks they're entitled to happiness.
Right.
You're not entitled to happiness. You're not entitled to health. You're not entitled to love. You're not entitled to anything.
No.
If you get it, hold on to it.
Right.
If you're healthy, be thankful for it.
Right.
If you find yourself happy or in love, then you better do everything in the world you can to hold on to that, because it's not given to you.
Correct.
It's not promised.
And also, happiness is an actual state of mind, because
you
go to a nice middle class neighborhood, and everybody's upset, and everybody thinks America's going to crap, and everything's horrible. And this next election is the most mortal election ever, because if we don't get it right, the country's going to fall apart and we're all going to die. You know what I mean?
And they're all worried about what they don't have.
Right.
What's the old saying? Comparison is death. Was it comparison is the killer of joy?
Correct.
Yeah. What do you have? What do I have?
You know what
you got? What do I got?
Yes. And now it applies to rating stuff.
Yeah.
Like, totally. I tell my audiences, don't rate the show.
Yeah.
Just remember it as you remembered
it.
And somebody yelled out, why? I go, because right now, what do you think about the show? He goes, man, I've had the best time ever. I go, so let us just pretend that you give this show a 4 out of 5 instead of a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
That means that you're going to start finding reasons to not like it.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it a 5?
That's right.
Well, it went too long. I drank too much. Like, now you're finding negatives in what was a beautiful, positive experience.
All my friends know it's a running joke. Uh-huh. Somebody goes, great show today. All I think of is what was wrong with yesterday.
Right.
Was yesterday not okay? Was that, and right. It's like a running joke. And I'm right. Like, you have to learn to get over it and right. Go, hey, man, right. just go. Just go and be happy. Just be have gratitude yeah. In your life. You're going to do these shows
yep.
At Comedy Club of KC. One tonight, yep. 2 tomorrow, 2 on Saturday. And they're going to be sellouts. And people are going to laugh.
The best.
And you're going to bring joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And that's all there is. That's it, man. Enjoy. Everybody should enjoy. You in the audience, you on the stage.
But people don't think that. People think, like, oh, you got money, Carlos. That's why, like, you're happy. No, I'm happy because I choose to wake up and be
that's
happy.
Right. I know miserable rich people.
Like, we were talking about today. Today, the story that I told, which is a real story about, you know, the hedgehog.
Mm-hmm.
That would be sexual assault.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because
right,
he tricked me into having sex
with him, yes.
And didn't tell me that he was
you would be the victim, a male. You would be the victim.
Right. Yeah. I would be like, he lied to me, that I felt raped and betrayed. And you know what I mean?
False pretenses.
I couldn't share the story because I was insecure or whatever, but you know, earlier in my life. But it was never a bad experience. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I do. Every time something weird, super embarrassing, or odd happens, before radio, I was like horrified.
You'd right.
Be like, Then radio, you're like, oh, that one's going to come out.
Great story. Right.
Yeah, man. It's a great story.
Right.
Life is about great stories.
Right.
And sometimes you're the antagonist. Sometimes you're the protagonist. Sometimes, you know, it just depends on how you view it.
Exactly. And I was like this before, because before I started doing stand up, you know, I told my mom that when I was a kid and we were living in La Ceiba, that I was molested by a priest. And as I got older, when I was like 17 or 18, my mom one day went, "Mijo, you're not ready." I go, "Yeah, I'm not going to church today, mom." "Oh, you have to go to church, mijo. If you don't go to church, you know you're not going to go to heaven." And I literally looked at my mom and went, "Mom, I blew a priest. I think I'm going to heaven." I don't think that me not going to church today is going to stop me.
Yeah.
I literally think that when I show up at the pearly gates,
you'll be like,
Jesus is going to walk out and go, "I know what you did for
fast,
me. Just
fast,
come on
fast,
in. Just
fast,
come on
fast,
in.
Fast, fast.
Right? Come on in." And, even though I was a kid, I still obeyed the Catholic rules. It's the body of Christ. Once it's in your mouth, you got to swallow it.
That's weird. Dude, I told you I was an altar boy, right?
I was too.
Yeah, but I never got touched. That's
that's your pain.
That's my
your
pain.
Pain. Like, what?
That's my
why
pain.
Not you?
I could hold a secret. Like, I was a good-looking kid.
Yeah. Well, you know what? For the longest time, I told my little doll secrets, and I had to choke out that doll when I got older. "You will never tell anybody I did a priest. You shut your pie hole, you little whore doll."
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did I tell you? I found that.
The secret doll?
Oh, my God. Is that not the best?
Yeah, yeah.
I found that little toy from 1965 that I like to whisper a secret. You
yes.
Pull the string. I'm like, oh my God. Dude, my house at this point, Carlos, you got to come over. Just, it's the weirdest collection of odd things. It's a do-over of childhood.
Do you still have a Stretch Armstrong?
Oh yeah, of course.
I have that one.
Dude, all my Evel Knievel stuff. But then I've graduated to like bigger, weirder stuff where you're like,
oh, yeah?
Why do you have a full-size Frankenstein in your living room? Or
right.
3 pinball machines in your kitchen?
That's nice.
But it's all the do-overs from having a lower middle class. I've never tried to sell poor, like you know poor.
Yeah.
We worried where our mortgage was going to get paid, and they turned off our stuff a couple times, and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But not really. You know what?
Right.
I don't know poor. But because of those lives, how do you live when you grow older, right?
Right.
I go to an amusement park, give me the fast pass. I want to eat pizza, because your dad would yell at you if you asked for food while you were there.
Right.
You know? And and it's not hard to figure out how to be happy. That's what makes me happy.
But see... Here's the thing. The Serenity Prayer is literally the perfect thing for you, right?
Yes.
Like that is like that's where happiness goes. If you literally follow those things, you can be. But most people don't want to live in that world, especially young people, because they've been taught not to deal with adversity, but just get rid of it. Like, take it away from me. Don't show it to me.
Right. They've never been in a fight.
None of that stuff. They don't
you
know what
it's
like. You
gotta get punched in the face.
Hey,
you have to.
That episode in Cobra Kai, where he's like, why is everybody flinching? Have none of you ever been punched in the face before?
That's right.
And he goes, get in line. Everybody's going to get punched in the face. And, you know, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understood that because I was like, oh my God, like once you get punched a couple, it's like when you first try boxing,
good, but it's
you,
not.
Have you ever sparred?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had three brothers.
So when I put on gloves and sparred, like I was flinchmaster, you know what I mean? Because you don't know what it feels like.
I had to stop with another friend as an adult who was a really good kickboxer.
Ooh.
Because I couldn't stop dropping my left. And I was like, I had to make a decision. Either I got to quit doing this or we can't be friends. Because if you punch me in the goddamn face another time, because right. he wouldn't pull. He's like, bam. And I was right. like, I mean, about the 200th time I dropped my left hand right. and he punched me in the face. I was like, we're done. Right. We're done, man.
Yeah.
And but that's the key is you got to learn to be unafraid of it's not as bad as you think it's going to be and you're going to live through it and it's going to be okay. And I know it's raining, but the sun's going to come out. And
it'll
if it's sunny,
fine.
Rain is going to happen.
There's
this
gonna
is
be a
the
day.
Way life is. This right. is how it is. And you're right. You can't be. That's what I do worry about. Not to we're going to sound like the old guys, but you can't be afraid of adversity. You got to lean into it.
Of course.
It'll let you know you're alive, man.
Of course.
Skin your knee, bloody your nose, get your lip fattened. It's okay.
Yes. And let your kids do that. Stop, yeah. baby. My friend, so when my son was 3 years old, my friend came over and my son Nicholas was putting his finger, like, you know, playing with an outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
So a couple of days later, my friend comes over with these little plastic plugs that you put on outlets to cover
stuff,
them up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I go, what are you doing, bro? And he goes, I'm just covering your outlets. And I'm like, stop. This is not your house. Why are you doing this? And he goes, because Nicholas almost put his finger in there the other day. I go, and? He's like, well, he might get electrocuted and die. I go, dude, do you know how houses work? We have a circuit breaker. He's not going to die.
He's going to buzz him.
Yeah. He's going to learn a valuable lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is don't put your fingers in that goddamn socket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And one day he put it in there. He got a tingle and he went, Papi, that thing is out. And I said, well, didn't I tell you not to put your finger in there? Yeah. You know what happened? He never put his finger in the goddamn thing ever again.
That's right.
It was really literally that simple.
Dude, my dad let a dog bite us once. We kept screwing with his food, and my dad's like, the dog's going to bite you, and it's, you know, your fault. And it didn't bite, but it nipped us.
Right.
And now that dog would be gone, right?
Right.
My dad was like, that dog didn't do a goddamn thing wrong.
Exactly.
And
But they were different parents.
Yeah, it was different.
One time, these three dudes were bothering me, and I was running toward the house. And when I got close enough to the house that I saw my dad was out front, I turned around and punched one of them in the face and then kept running toward the house. They followed me to about 10 feet to my dad. And then when I reached my dad, he picked me up and he said, hey, you started this. You better finish it. And he threw me at them.
God
and
damn.
I had to fight three dudes in front of my dad, bro. And the whole time he was going, if they kick your ass, I'm going to kick your ass for getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Three on one, dude. Three on one. And I had to defend myself, bro. And I don't think I won, but I defended myself enough that he didn't beat my ass.
Yeah, no, that was it.
Like, he was proud of me. Like, you started it and you finished it. Good for you. And I was like, you're my dad, dude.
Yeah, you watched me get punched in the face.
You watched me get my ass beat.
Yeah.
You threw me into the den of lions. And he was like, well, then don't start something you can't finish.
Yeah. No.
Then don't punch him.
Yeah.
Run home. If you would have ran home, I would have protected you.
Yeah, do two things you got to learn.
But he goes, you used me. You used me. I was like,
that's right.
Jesus Christ.
But you got to be smart to know you can't whip three guys' ass, right? So
yes.
you go, hey, you got to, this is an important lesson, right?
It was a valuable lesson. I never got into it with three dudes ever again.
What do we have now? We have guys, keyboard warriors to get out in the real world.
Exactly.
And they run their mouth and you're like, hey, man, that's a real man. Like, you're a real person. He's a real person.
Right.
That dude's, and then they get socked in the mug. And they're like, what happened? You're like, what did you?
Right.
Nobody showed you.
Right. They didn't know. But that's a lot of the youth today. You know what I'm saying? We baby-proof houses.
What my buddy told me the other day, it was a terrible phrase, but it made me laugh out loud. We were talking about some guy, his buddy, a girl kept slapping him, a stranger, in a bar, got him to it. And so he goes, and again, his friend finally lit her up.
Sure.
And in the phrase, equal rights turn into equal lefts. And I went, I was like, well, goddamn. Yep. All right. I get it.
Well, but it's like I used to do this on stage because like with misogyny and stuff like that. Like I tell young women, you guys got to give people like me credit for not being creepy.
Yeah.
Like I get no credit for being creepy. Like my friend the other day went on stage and said, you young people need to chill with your whole misogyny thing. You need to understand something and put it in perspective. He goes, I'm 53. Do you know who our role model was growing up? Bill Cosby.
Yeah, right?
Literally.
Who knew? Who knew?
Right? Yeah. That's who it literally was. Dude, I grew up believing that no doesn't mean no.
Right.
Just, no means maybe.
It was a part of the dating ritual, right?
Yes.
No, maybe, no.
Right.
Maybe,
and people go,
no.
Oh, who taught you that? Watch a movie called Goldfinger, where James Bond, Sean Connery,
sure,
literally starts assaulting this woman in a barn. And she's like, no, James, no, James, no. And he inevitably, like, starts kissing her, and then she goes, oh, James, like, that's sexual assault.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
I grew up watching a rapist and cheering for him. His name was Pepe Le Pew. We wanted him to rape that cat. We literally woke up every morning and went, please rape her today. Can today be the episode where you catch her and bang her? For
Jesus Christ, Carlos.
But this is real how we grew up.
I don't know that I got to the part of actual penetration in my head, but
right,
I understand what you're saying,
but that's what it was. It was a skunk who painted the stripe to pretend he was a cat to interspecies try to bang this cat who did want nothing to do with him, and we had no idea that was rapey. None whatsoever.
Somehow in our heads, it was unrequited love. He wants her so bad,
right?
To us, it was like, done today.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's been going at it all week.
Yeah, like, right.
Today's
give
the
him,
day?
Come on, give right. him a little.
It was almost like, oh, he deserves it. Yeah, right?
He's tried so hard.
It's almost like that one episode of Family Guy where the old man, there's a fire, and the old man runs into the burning building and gets Chris, but instead of bringing him out, he takes him to his house, and then Stewie goes, he deserves that. Like, that's how that moment feels to me.
Oh, dude, it's true. We were a generation raised on hose water and neglect.
Listen, for you kind of younger people, there was a TV show back in the day called Cheers. There's literally an episode where Sam slaps Diane in the face twice.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
She slaps him. Then he slaps her. Then she slaps him again. Then he slaps her again. And that episode, I believe, was nominated for an Emmy. So you got to understand, like, what we grew up with. So I want credit for having all that in my life and still being respectful of women.
Yeah.
Because we were told, you know what I mean? Especially, I grew up with Catholic girls.
We were busting
They were told
ass.
To say no.
Of course. Because that was they wanted to say, and this is what you felt like in your heart.
Yes.
Society said, if you enjoyed yourself sexually, she grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. You wanted to, right? I mean, as a normal person would.
Everybody wanted to.
Right,
yeah.
We all. And again, take this, guys, as it is intended. Don't turn it into something else. Both teenagers meet each other. They find each other attractive. But you're told you're a dirty whore.
Yes.
You have any sexual
and
feelings.
And you're going down.
So you have to go, no, I'm supposed to say this.
Mm-mm.
Right. And then there's a certain amount of attack and repel. And then eventually you get to touch a boob over a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what teenagers have been doing since the beginning of time. Now, rape is not okay. Sexual assault is not okay.
Nope.
But there are two very different societies we're talking about
here. Yes.
We're talking about the shaming of a human being because she does want to,
right.
You know, but you're being told you're terrible, mm-hmm. so you have to say
Never
this.
Mind the fact that you're on top of me, initiating the whole thing.
Right.
But
right.
I'm a whore.
By the way, you were on top?
No.
Okay.
That would take effort.
The other day, we were busting his balls. It made me laugh.
About what?
You want to explain to him why you had to go watch your chick?
Oh, I watched my girlfriend get her IUD put in last year.
Oh, but tell him why.
Because she wanted to show me the pain that women go through. So we could keep raw dogging it. And
But she made him watch.
But she made me watch.
I was like, I'd just tell her no.
Right.
No, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why'd you go?
But I went because I wanted to be.
Because you're not a man. I get it.
Wow, that's what he said.
Because you're hugely effeminate. Yeah, sure, of course.
But my other thought was, if you cared so much about her being hurt, because you kept saying, because I care about her and I want to know what she went through. But you don't care so much, you just continue to wear condoms.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to wear a condom anymore. So,
yeah, that's the truth. The truth is,
but,
you know,
here's what I would have said to her. I would have said, listen, if I watched
Which, by the way, he's a wonderful, nice young
man.
He really is a nice person.
I understand that. But see, what I would have said was, listen, if you're doing that, that means you want to enjoy the sex the way I enjoyed the sex. And if you want me to keep enjoying the sex with you, I can't watch that.
No, that's right.
Because I'm an empathetic human being.
That's right.
Do you want me every time we have sex to be thinking about how painful things are and how this is?
I think so, though. That's
what you should have said.
That was my point, was only people who want to have that, like, that thing
right
over you. I'm like, you're taking away. Do you want to take away my enjoyment of it all?
Right.
That only lasted for a little bit. I don't think about that.
You overlook it now?
Yeah.
I got you.
It. Just be honest. Here's what I tell people. Listen, and this applies. This is hard. See, life is easy if you let it. You just get thoughts get in your way. Think about the person that you care about. If you want to have an unbelievable night tonight with whoever you love, just remember this. Imagine the person that you love. Put that person in your head and remember this. That's the best you could do. And you will have an unbelievable, happy life.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If all you worry about is what you don't or that you could have more.
I could do better.
Forget it. Your life is miserable.
You know what's funny? When I say that on stage, everybody that is happy are the obese, ugly people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the obese, ugly people look at each other like, you're the best, I love you. It's like the semi-hot.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
they're the ones that look at each other like, I could do better. You know, yeah, you got money, but you're a little old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, I'll get a better trick than you. You know what I mean? It's like that dynamic.
Sure. Yes. No, there's no doubt about that, man. There's no doubt. You have to look and go, this is everything I want, and you go at it from that point of view because that means you're going to treat each other better.
You're going to treat
each other with respect and love and gratitude, and you're not going to take each other for granted.
And you're going to be real.
Because that's the great failure.
Yeah.
When you take each other for granted, that's when it all goes bad.
That's because you think you could do better.
That's right.
That's because you think, you know. But going back to the whole religion thing, last week, and I just posted this a couple days ago because my buddy had asked me, dude, he goes, you're going to Salt Lake City? I go, yeah. He goes, ask the Mormons about soaking. And I was like,
oh, yeah. That's super weird.
I brought it up because I'm like, that's not, to me in my head, that cannot be real. Do you know what soaking is?
I think we talked about it once.
It's you can't move. You could put it in.
Yeah.
But you can't move.
Yes, we have talked about that.
And then your friend jumps on the bed.
Yeah.
You cannot move.
Yeah.
But your friend jumps on the bed, mimicking the motion so that, but you're not having sex because you're not.
Like a spotter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, because you're not allowed.
I don't remember that part.
Because that's the loophole is
right.
That you can't move.
Correct.
It says, what does it say? In 1885, one of the LDS church top leaders, 73-year-old Apostle Carrington, argued that his decade of extramarital sexual relationships with multiple younger women did not count as they were only a little folly because he would only partially penetrate the vagina with just the tip and part of the shaft, reportedly less than a total depth of 4 inches, and pulled out before ejaculation. So hence, that's what the chastity loophole was.
Well, man, I've never had
Provo pushing, jump humping, and derfing.
Derfing.
Cool.
Try humping.
Well, if that's not sex,
derfing.
I've only had sex with 3 women in my life. If everything else isn't sex, I'm almost the virgin, people.
The Provo push is also like that. And derfing is another one.
Derfing. I just can't believe that, though. First of all, maybe it's just me.
But still the same thing. As Catholics thinking if you do an anal,
right,
that it's not. It's
but
not,
but that know. At least I understand. Like, that at least I can get. What I can't understand is, first of all, okay, I put myself in the shoes of the guy. You start jumping on the bed, it's going to take, what, 30 seconds to a minute before I start going, get off, you know what I mean?
Listen, just touching it with you that age.
Right.
I'm like, it went off.
So let's see.
And I'm done.
And if I'm the spotter.
Yeah.
There's no way that I start jumping and see that, and in about 30 seconds, it doesn't become DP. It's going to be DP. In literally 30 seconds, she's going to be like, oh, Joseph Smith. You know what I mean?
Like, dude.
But they said it's real.
Oh, yeah. No, it's real.
I told them what you said. I said, be like the Mexican girls. I blew them. I didn't do them. Like, there you go. There you go. I literally heard my mom tell one of my sisters.
English people had this simple, different phrase. My mom said, up the bum, no babies come.
Oh, nice.
So I didn't realize every nationality, every race has their own. Every culture has their own.
Everyone has it. Everyone has it.
I blew my
And then my mom would say, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about the culo. That's what my mom. That's what my mom would tell two of my sisters who she knew. See, here's an example.
They're gonna do it.
My mother grew up telling my sisters, "You do not have sex until you get married." Two of them, she knew were whores. Knew.
Yeah.
So to those two, she said, "Hey, you know, the culo doesn't say anything in the Bible." To the other ones, don't do nothing. You better not. You're going to hell. But those two, and I was like, Options. Mom, what's the difference? My mom was like, you know they're going to do it anyway, mijo. Like, and so she, like, she as a mother, even she knew, like, I can't control these. I can't. These
no,
girls.
That's right. You can't.
These girls want the D, and that's what they want, and they're going
to
get it.
We grew up knowing a girl's father, if she caught you, was going to beat you to death, at least believing it with all our hearts, and it still didn't stop us. We'd still be like, I don't care.
How many windows did you jump out of as a teenager?
Oh, my God, dude. I took a girl home. Her dad used to teach physical, like martial arts to the cops at Olathe.
Ooh.
And I took this girl. She was so hot, and she had me take her home last day of school.
She had to be. If her dad was a cop, you know she's hot.
Takes me home. I'm in my mom's Plymouth Duster, and I take her home, and she lives other part of town, little slab home, and we go in. And I think it was the end of my senior year, and she goes in and we start to fool around. She goes on this bed. I'm not paying any attention at all. She bends over. I've got her pants down. My pants are down. This is happening, and all of a sudden she gets that look on her face. I hear a car door slam, and it's when I tell you it's a small slab home, it's like a 2-bedroom home.
Yeah.
And I look around and I have that millisecond where I realize, this is not a child's bedroom. we're in a parent's bedroom.
No.
And I look over to the right, and there he is.
he was looking at you?
And his daughter, who was bent over. That dude literally got a hold of my neck and the skin above my ass and threw me down. It only had two steps. Bam! Right onto the sidewalk, like when my pants were still down. I was so freaked out, I couldn't even get my mom's giant key ring, but it had macrame on it. And it was about a foot long. I jumped through the window of the passenger side and drove away across his lawn.
Yeah.
Then went home, took the phones off. And then I see her like 3 months later after the summer break. And she's like, why didn't you ever call me? I go, your dad was going to murder me.
Right.
Your dad, and rightfully so. I had you bent over his bed.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't get over that.
I'll always remember.
There's no Sunday dinner after that moment, ever.
No, we're not
right?
together.
That's like even totally if you fell in love, how weird would that be?
She was so beautiful. Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? No. Like the dad's going to be like, I'm going to have a toast. First time I met Johnny. Like, oh, no. Like, oh, that's so bizarre, dude.
Dude, you know how hard a guy is to grab your skin to get a hold of you over your ass cheeks? Like, he literally got me like a two-handed grip and tossed me through a screen door.
Jesus, man.
And real story, her name, I'm not going to say her name, but she was beautiful. And by the way, worth every moment. Super hot.
I never got caught, but I jumped out of a few windows. But
I had a girl's brother offer to beat me up.
Oh,
that
was
bad. Yeah, she was on top, too. I wouldn't even look at him.
Oh, that's so weird. But I did have the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was 14 years old, my curfew was 10 o'clock, and I showed up at 11:30. And my dad just said, get on your knees. In Spanish, it's íncate. Get on your knees. And get on your knees pretty much means put your hands down. You're about to get your ass beat.
Yeah, yeah.
So my dad beat my ass. Didn't ask me anything. Just beat my ass. When he was done, he goes, so tell me, where were you? And I go, Dad, I'm sorry, but I was hanging out with Jessica, and we were making out, and I couldn't leave, Dad. And he starts crying. And I go, what's the matter, Dad? He goes, oh, my God, you're going to turn gay because of me. I go, what? He goes, I beat you for getting girls, and now you're going to get guys. I'm sorry, mijo. I didn't mean it. I should have asked you. Please don't be gay. Women are nice, mijo. They're the best. He gave me $100 and goes, mijo, tomorrow take her somewhere nice.
Oh, that's great.
Please don't be gay. Please don't be gay. And
I was like, hilarious.
He was afraid. Like, how? I look back at that moment, and I think my dad was an uneducated man from the middle of nowhere in Honduras, and yet at that moment, he was like, I do not want my son to associate vagina.
He understood cause and reaction.
With getting his ass beat.
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
He was Freudian. All of a sudden, he's Freudian, right?
Yeah.
And he gave me $100 and
that's hilarious.
Dude, he literally was afraid that I was going to want some D.
My mom came home.
Because he hit me.
We were latchkey kids. Yeah. And my brother, because I get the story secondhand, I'd already moved out. My youngest brother is there, and my mom got home after work. She got home about 3:30 in the afternoon. She worked at an old folks' home. And she said she walked up, and we had broken the door in the bedroom, from being boys, right, cracking them, so they had mirrors, like those cheap mirrors you put on. Mm-hmm. So the door was open, but there's a mirror on the door.
Right.
She said, I looked down the hallway, and I could see your brother and another boy completely naked. And she was like, oh. So she's walks down, and she starts to go, what is going on in here?
Right.
And she hears a rustle in the closet, opens the closet door, and there's a girl in there. And she said, John, I was relieved. I thought.
And then she thought he was gay. That was, yeah.
And then, but then she turned on, she goes, and you go home. She's telling me this. I go, Mom, she told me, goes, oh, and I bet your father's very proud of what you've become. And I was like, wow, Mom, you shame that girl. Your son and this other dude are pulling a train, and they're not the bad ones.
Right.
I was like, only a mom could pull that off.
Right. Well,
like,
that's the old school moms, right?
Yeah,
that's
really the old school moms. Swear to God.
Right. Dude. And that's why, like, during the 70s and before that, like, a lot of women didn't come out.
Yeah.
Right? Because they knew that if they went home and said to their mom, I think I got raped, a lot of moms would have been like, you were drinking, it's your fault.
Yeah, awful.
You know what I mean?
Awful.
Back in those days. That's what I'm saying. Like, some of you younger women, man,
they
you need
know.
To give us credit. You don't understand how, like, easy it was for us to be assholes.
Yeah. No, it's true, man. Again, the pendulum needs to find the middle.
Right.
But you just make sure you go to your OBGYN.
I will.
And you know where you find it? Like, if you go out and hang out with strippers. Like, if you don't, like, dude... every guy that I know that doesn't know about strip clubs, I go, dude, it's really easy. If you want attention at a strip club, don't ask a girl over and tell her what's wrong with her. That's all you got to do. He's like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, okay, then tell them what every guy tells them. You're beautiful. You're hot. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. Yeah. But go in there and tell her you're nice, but you could use some work. And why don't you do this? And I guarantee you they'll get pissed, but they'll stay there. And they'll look at you and go, I don't understand. What do you mean? What's wrong? And by the end of the night, it's done. She's with you. You got it. It's all psychology, bro. It's psychology, dude. You got to know. And you know what? Every stripper I know has like 2-3 guys that are really nice. They'll do anything for them. And they abuse the living crap out of those guys.
All their money.
The young dude who ignores them. Who doesn't even bang him right, who can't even get it up because he's on so many drugs and takes all their money.
That's right.
That's the dude they love.
That's awful.
That's the guy.
It's awful. That's true.
Yeah.
It's 100% true, man.
You know who they don't pay attention to? The guy that actually goes when they get their IUD put in. That's the guy. That's the guy that they have no respect for. I'm just telling you, bro. But we were talking about strippers, not your woman. So let's just understand the difference.
All right. I got to get these commercials in, dude. It's already 9:52.
All right. I got to go be on Fox.
Nobody told me that.
No. We're good. We're good on time. I don't have to be there till 10:30.
All right. I love you, man.
I'll call you.
Let me go to commercial break. I want to say goodbye to you, man.
Right.
The great Carlos Mencia, live at the Comedy Club of Kansas City, 103rd and State Line. One show tonight, 2 shows tomorrow, 2 shows on Saturday. Mr. Carlos Mencia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!